Formula One 2021-22 season. It's a 23 race season this year. Starts the 26th of the 3rd this year and ends the 12th of the 12th. Is it just me or is the F1 season now becoming longer and longer? Which is good because when I was watching it when I was much younger, it was only 6 months and it was pretty much over after 2-3 months. Whereas now it seems to get better and better. I mean, let's hope for another fantastic season like last year, where we had so many different podium winners and shocks and surprises. And let's just hope for some better overtaking and more competition at the front. Anyway, Stefano Domenicali is now the new F1 CEO. He is now going to start implementing his ideas and vision for how to make this sport more commercially better and more interesting for the fans. Because, let's face it, the last few years, as great as seeing the dominance of Mercedes has been and watching Lewis Hamilton pretty much dominate, well, there is no other words, dominate an era of the sport which none of us expected to see. But it's greatly appreciated. So hopefully him with Ross Brawn and all the other top chiefs in F1, now we can start bringing this product that has got bigger and bigger over the last 15 years. We can start elevating it to new heights. The driver lineups this year, there has been a lot of changes. I will go into that now. So we start with Mercedes. Mercedes is staying with the same driver lineup of Lewis Hamilton, who's recently just signed a 1-year extension, and Valtteri Bottas, which I believe is a 1-year extension as well. This is the team to beat on paper. They have the best luck and reliability, and they seem to just be able to churn results out when sometimes the weekend isn't in their favour. But also that's a credit to the drive that Lewis Hamilton has brought to this team. Also, you've got to give credit to Valtteri Bottas. I mean, before he joined, there was the rocky relationship with Rosberg and Hamilton, but he seems to have come in and just been that typical Finnish driver that's just come in, relaxed, and just sort of mellowed the whole situation. And obviously the team has been led by probably one of the most bombastic team principals, Toto Wolff. They're the team to beat, let's be honest. And let's just see what happens. Red Bull, there's been some driver change. Obviously Max Verstappen is still the number one driver, but undoubtedly the driver of last season, if you take away the top three drivers, if you want to call Max, Bottas and Lewis last year. There was Sergio Perez, you know, arguably driving the Mercedes 2 car or Tracing Point or Racing Point, whatever car you want to call it, pretty much deserved something to come after pretty much being shown the door unfairly by Racing Point. But luckily we have a good thing to talk about because Checo and Max driving for Red Bull. Obviously, Red Bull have secured the Honda engine, obviously AlphaTauri as well. So going forward, I expect Red Bull to develop. They finally have an engine now they can maximise to how they want it to work. Obviously, they've had in the past the Renault situation, which, well, didn't really go well, particularly in the end. If you had to have a yin and yang of a teammate, I think this is quite possibly the most unexpected but well-suited teammates you could have. Perez will, when Red Bull need to do a long stint, Perez is your man. Also, I expect a lot closer, there'll be a lot bigger points haul for Red Bull this year. I can't envision seeing Mercedes run off of the Constructors' Championship. I think this year they're going to be under... I don't think they're going to run away with it as much as they have the last few seasons, but I think teams like Red Bull, McLaren, which we'll get onto, will give them a good run for their money, so to speak. So anyway, we now move on to McLaren, and well, if this team is a well, this team have just gone from pretty much being back of the grid many, many years ago with Fernando and Jensen Button, Fernando Alonso and Jensen Button, and pretty much being one of the worst sounding F1 cars I may have heard in a fair few years, and all change, obviously Zak Brown's come in, and they have a new direction. They've wheeled and dealed, so to speak. They've got the Renault engine. They've powered their way up to third. Obviously, the Carlos Sainz and Lando Norris combination the last few seasons. I mean, wow. I mean, what a driver partnership that was. And also, how good of a team to basically rise from the ashes, so to speak. And yeah, I mean... obviously, this season, Carlos Sainz has departed for Ferrari. We'll get to that a bit later. Lando Norris has now been joined by, well, one of my all-time favourite drivers of this generation, Danny Ricciardo. Well, what can you say? I mean, Danny Ricciardo, undoubtedly well, words can't explain Danny Ricciardo. Amazing driver, gifted, talented, quick-witted, fast, wealth of experience, team leader, but also he has always been a good teammate. But what he brings to McLaren, what McLaren need, is the balance where there is no egos within the team. This is and obviously... McLaren have just recently acquired the Mercedes engine, and well, if there is a dark horse of a team this year, you would expect to sort of be pulling on the Red Bull string, so to speak, and try closing the gap between Mercedes and Red Bull, and the gap between breaking into the top two teams, so to speak. I mean, no disrespect to Ferrari, but Ferrari fell off the. They fell off last season, but we'll get to Ferrari a bit later. I'm definitely not discrediting Ferrari. But yeah, so McLaren, this is the what if situation. Can they get the best out of the engine? Hopefully they don't get reliability issues. For me, they're going to be... in and around being I would expect their target to be finished would be the third best or the fourth best team on the grid, constructors point wise. But we saw how our season went. There's chances of races, there's chances of unexpected podiums, wins, and well, yeah. Sorry, you probably realise I'm a bit McLaren fan, but anyway, take the McLaren hat off. Now we move on to Aston Martin, or as it was called last year, Racing Point. Really should have finished third in the championship last year, but obviously reliability issues cost them towards the last race of the season. We all remember Abu Dhabi, Perez pulling up on the side, and I thought at that point, Racing Point were going to finish third, but that didn't turn out to be the case. As we just highlighted earlier, Perez had been unfairly taken out of the seat at Racing Point after pretty much acquiring a lot of sponsorship money and basically a lot of interest in keeping the team going. And obviously Lance Stroll bought a big portion of the team, saved them, and obviously last season with their building block to climb the grid. And obviously there was a lot of unhappy teams, and obviously Renault had complained. Yeah, so we move on to the driver lineup. Obviously, Stroll is still there, basically proven a lot of people wrong last season. Had a podium finish, and also displayed a lot of talent that a lot of people had wrote off when he was at Williams. And obviously, yeah. Now we move on to his teammate, Sebastian Vettel, a four-time world champion. I know. Last season was undoubtedly probably the worst I've ever seen him drive. But also credit where it's due. He hung on in there, and he's proven if you give him the car that he likes to drive, he will get you results. You look at first time when he moves to a team, he has that first season ethic where basically he goes in, he delivers. He delivered when he went to Red Bull, he delivered when he went to Ferrari, when he was Kimi Raikkonen's teammate. And this is another team where if they can build on what they've done last year, the sky's the limit for this team. Basically, I think their biggest challenge this year is going to be McLaren and Alpine, the Alpine team, which we move on to now. Alpine, formerly known as Renault, but obviously last season they announced they're going to be known as the Alpine team. I think it's a French-based, obviously it's a French-based team, but the name Alpine is a French-based, something to do with something within France, which is why they've turned over. I'm sorry for anyone that wants to correct me on that. So obviously Esteban Ocon is still there. And obviously we have the two-time F1 champion Fernando Alonso, aged 39, I believe, coming back to Formula One. If anything Formula One has proven in the last 10 years, if you're good enough and you bring the money, the sponsorship money, the sky's the limit for you. Fernando, for me, has always been that driver of what if he was in, what if he didn't do this, what if he didn't do that. Really should have won a title with Ferrari. It really didn't work out for him the second time at McLaren, and it didn't work out the second time at Renault. This is third time lucky, I believe, he would go into Renault. I believe it's third time. If I'm wrong, I apologise. Obviously, Cyril a bit bored, announced in the summer he was leaving, and Laurent Rossi is taking over as the new CEO. Also, David Bruno, I think his name is joining as the race director as well. So basically, there's a lot of change within Alpine, because obviously last year they also went for a big, a lot of change within the team. You had pretty much Danny Ricciardo running the show, and obviously it took Esteban probably three quarters of the season to get back into the swing of the F1. Obviously, because he spent a year out, basically as Mercedes reserve driver. I believe in this driver lineup. I believe it will more be based on Fernando will deliver, and I think Ocon will be left in the wind. But I think it will probably more be the first two, three races, Ocon will try to stamp his dominance, and Fernando will just come back and basically do what Fernando does, dominates the midfield. We move on to Ferrari. Pretty much a fall from grace last season. There was so much expectation on Charles Leclerc and Vettel, and obviously Charles Leclerc was perceived to be basically the next, well, the next big driver. There is no doubt. Charles Leclerc, Max Verstappen, and drivers like Esteban Ocon, Mick Schumacher, Stroll, Pierre Gasly, are all the blueprint, and obviously the blueprint for the sport going forward. Drivers that you expect to dominate, well, not dominate, but be established F1 drivers where basically anything can happen. Anyway, so back to Ferrari. As we know, as we just alluded, Sebastian Vettel left and Carlos Sainz comes in. Carlos Sainz, basically, the last 4 seasons has definitely massively improved as a driver. If you don't know much about Carlos was in within the Red Bull program. Basically, I believe, got loaned out to Renault. He was driving for AlphaTauri briefly, and then obviously got asked to move over. He came in for one of the ex-English British drivers. I should know his name. No, it's gone. Sorry. So, yeah. Wealth experience and basically has developed to be one of the best new best drivers I've seen. He delivers under pressure. He's calm. He definitely doesn't always delivers. And that's what I like about Carlos. Charles Leclerc basically in time will be a world champion. Same should be Carlos Sainz. I expect to be close to running for a title. Ferrari basically for whatever reason last year their power unit was just beyond shocking. Which you never expect to see with a Ferrari team, but like I have said to a few people in the past, I believe that Ferrari is better run when you don't have an Italian at the running the team. I allude to going back to say Ross Brawn. Ross Brawn obviously delivered multiple championships for Ferrari under Michael Schumacher and obviously Kimi Raikkonen. Yeah, I think Ferrari this year will most likely, I think they will deliver on the tracks where the power units aren't so demanding, but I also believe they will develop their car this year where they will close the gap back up to get within the top 3 to 5 teams. Obviously, with this partnership with Leclerc and Sainz, it's new blood, Sainz particularly, it's new fresh blood, and obviously, I don't think there'll be that rift between that there might have been between Leclerc and Vettel. Yeah, that's pretty much that's the Ferrari situation over and done with there. So we're on to AlphaTauri. Pierre Gasly, undoubtedly one of the best drivers on the grid last year. Other than Perez and Danny Ric, this guy is, well, undoubtedly one of the best comeback stories within Formula One. Obviously being shunned by the Red Bull program. Obviously, I think he went to Red Bull a bit too young. And obviously, it's always daunting because it's a different pressure at a big team than it is compared to a normal team. And because the cameras are on you, there's expectations, which there is expectations in Formula One. I'm not saying there isn't, but it's a different expectation at a bigger team. So this guy is he just blew it out of the water last year. You know, amazing driver. So yeah, just brilliant driver. And so Yuki Tsunoda, his teammate, obviously massively backed by Honda sponsorship. He's was in F2 last year. I didn't watch much of F2, but what I have seen of F2 is this kid is fast. He seems to be a very quick learner. And I think he's going to cause a few shocks next year. I expect Pierre Gasly to pretty much dominate him, and he will be number one driver, undoubtedly. So, yeah, I mean, really, I think AlphaTauri, they'll definitely be punching within the top. There'll be AlphaTauri, Ferrari, Alpine, Aston Martin, McLaren. That big sandwich of teams fighting out amongst themselves to be the third best team on the grid. Alfa Romeo, another team also powered by Ferrari power. Obviously, their lineup's still the same. Kimi Räikkönen and Antonio Giovinazzi. Another team where basically, what can you say? I mean, Kimi Räikkönen undoubtedly a legend in the sport. F1 champion, which a lot of people seem to sometimes forget. He is an F1 champion. Giovinazzi definitely pulled a few shocks out last year. I think this year the team will develop, and I think they will try to sort of. I think them, Haas and Williams are in that battle again to try and not be the back three teams on the grid. But I also think next year's regulations, sorry, next season 2022-23, I think there's going to be a lot of change within how teams are going to implement certain aspects of their car design, and obviously it all changes again. So, which is good for a neutral because you kind of want it to change because you want that spice, the spice element to make it all entertaining aspect for you to watch. You don't want to see five passes in a race and be like, "Whoa, clock watching," you know. Anyway, so that's Alfa Romeo. Now we're on to Haas. I'm not going to get into the politics of certain changes, certain things that have happened within that team. Obviously, the team is inspired by this year by the two new drivers they've got from F2. They've got the F2 world champion. Mick Schumacher, son of Michael Schumacher. This boy, well, he's on the Ferrari Academy program, I believe. And all eyes will be on this kid at the start. I think he will start off slow, but I think as the season goes on, I think he'll start to produce aspects of his racing style and his work ethic, and like his old man did, and I think he will cause a few surprises in qualifying, racing, and you never know. Sky's the limit. Haas, Alfa Romeo, and well, hopefully Williams will try and get some points this year, as it'd be really nice to see. He's also joined by Nikita Mazepin. I'm not going to go into the politics surrounding the driver. What I saw of him in F2, good driver. Definitely comes with baggage, but also massively backed by Russian sponsorship, I believe. Obviously Haas, Günther Steiner this year is going to definitely have his hands full. I love the team principal. I think he's a legend. Haas, another team which will hopefully be another team looking to punch above their weight when they first come into F1. Definitely try to sort of mix it with the big boys. Now we're on to Williams. Williams, still the same driver for lineup as George Russell and Latifi. George Russell obviously proven last year that if he didn't have his accident, he would have got a point in the Williams car. He obviously got points with Mercedes at Abu Dhabi, which, if anyone thinks that it's easy to basically, anyone could drive a Mercedes, whatever, this kid not only proved how versatile and how his adaptability to just jump in a car and change, but the drive, the energy, the enthusiasm, everything that come with it, he just delivered. He chew up Valtteri Bottas in a way which we all pundits, everyone, we all said amongst ourselves, think, cool, wouldn't it be good if he chew up Bottas, or wouldn't it be good if he, got on the podium? Obviously, they we know how that race went out, and the kid's got talent. When you have Fernando Alonso pretty much back you saying, you know, this kid's going to be big, you kind of know then. So obviously Jenson Button is joined as a senior advisor to the team. The team got bought out last year by an American consortium, but still keeps the Williams name. Obviously, they are powered by Mercedes Power. Obviously, there is George Russell's agent is obviously, well, we know who he is, Toto Wolff. And this is a big, I think this is a big season for George Russell in the sense of if he continues to deliver in a team that last year proven that they were making progress, you know, they got to Q2, and you know they're pushing on that the last thing now to get into Q3. Williams, very similar to McLaren many years ago, and McLaren at the back grid. There's a lot of potential in that team. You see that, you know, they have won championships under with Damon Hill. They've won it with Damon Hill. We'll go with Damon Hill because Damon Hill was the well, legend, and obviously they won races with Montoya, which for me, that Williams era, that team was brilliant. And Ralf Schumacher, obviously, teammate, as I remember back then. I mean, overall, good having Jenson Button in will, I think it will help George as well. It'll also help Latifi. I also think there'll be a lot of to and fro going back between the two of them. I think. Obviously, I think Russell will dominate the teammate battle. But the point I was trying to make a minute or two ago, which I kind of went a bit off track, I apologise, is obviously with potential changes that are going to happen within teams. Obviously, if Mercedes don't keep Bottas or Gasly decides he's going to leave AlphaTauri, and Alpine decide they're not going to renew Ocon's contract, or for whatever reason, Alonso loses the love of the sport and falls out of love of F1 again. You know, there's a lot of potential of driver moves. I still believe whether it's this season or next season, George Russell will either be driving for possibly Alpine, possibly even Mercedes. Maybe if they keep hold of Lewis for another year, he can be nurtured into that role better. So when if Lewis decides that 8, maybe 9 world championship wins is enough for him, that is enough. George Russell has that experience of basically, I mean, he is a team leader. You see it in the Drive to Survive thing. He is a born. He's going to be the next big. I think he'll be the next big British driver we have coming through the ranks. So as Williams as a team, I believe they are going to score maybe 1 to 3 championship points this season, and also, and I believe that is it. So, predictions going forward, race wins. I believe Mercedes will probably win 10 to 12 races this year, maybe 14. I believe Red Bull will score 2 or 3, 4 to 6 race wins. Really would love to see McLaren win a race or at least be on the podium a few times like last season. I really want to see a lot of overtaking, a lot of competition between the mid-table teams. And also, as a fan, I just want to be entertained and just have a lot to talk to people about and that. And obviously, dream predictions. I would really love to see Alonso back on a podium again. You know, I would love to see Kimi Raikkonen get to 6th or 7th again. You know, these are legends of the sport I grew up with. You know, I grew up in an era when Michael Schumacher was undoubtedly one of the best drivers, and you had Jacques Villeneuve, you had the battles he had with Kimi Raikkonen, Fernando, Montoya. And then he left, and there was that void in the sport. And then, obviously, as we know, it's it's developed, it's grew bigger, it's grew massive in its everything it needs to be. Changes I really want to see in the sport. The one thing that did bug me last year was the safety aspect on obviously the Abu Dhabi with Grosjean. Obviously, it was horrific scenes, and no one wants to see any driver subjected to any sort of crashes or crashes of that magnitude. I believe Formula One really needs to start looking. It's great taking these races on, but if you're not going to implement certain safety aspects, like if you put a tire wall along there, I know some people said, oh yeah, but that was a part of the track, which blah, accidents like that never happened, but it happened. If you put something there, that wouldn't have happened. I believe the tire wall would have took the force element of that car, and it wouldn't have snapped in half. You should not see an F1 car snap in half. You know, I know we've seen in Australia cars flipping over, like Fernando Alonso. We've seen the season before at Abu Dhabi, I believe it was, when a couple of seasons before, when Hülkenberg flipped over. Overall, I have to applaud the safety of the sport. It's just a minor little dig. The safety of the cars, the safety of the driver, everything. You know, Formula One does deliver. It's a minor pet peeve of mine. If you like what you hear, please like. And if you want to discuss anything with me, please feel free to add a comment. Thank you very much for listening. Cheers. Bye-bye.